Yeah, man, fucking just gassing on what skateboarding and life has presented me over the fucking last 50 years of my involvement. Yeah, 5-0. I was skateboarding when skateboarding was starting to figure out what skateboarding was,
Did
And
you say
it wasn't.
50?
My cousin was like a pioneer in my hometown in Michigan, I was fucking 4 years old, And my grandmother used to take care of me and my two brothers. And we had cousins and then all the neighborhood kids. And my cousin Michael was like a trendsetter, man. And he was like Charles Michael, man. He got him a skateboard. And I remember my first memories was sitting on my grandmother's in the driveway going up and down, on my butt, getting pushed back and forth, And then we'd go around the block to a hill and, do some butt boarding down hills. But that was like 1966, Who
What?
started their shit in 66? Fucking Vans, So as long
What?
as Vans have been around, I've been skateboarding. 1966, I was born in 62. I'll be fucking 59 in October, And to me,
Damn.
I'm getting recalibrated at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking raised my kids. They're all grown and fucking fully productive on their own. And now I can resume living, if you will. Like, my journey and what will be considered my skateboard pro journey or recognition journey started in roughly 84, 85. Part of it was, like I said, I started skating as a kid in Michigan, went through the awkward phases of the 70s of shitty trucks, poor wheels, and just no choices. But I lived around the block from my high school, and my best friend's mother's boyfriend, Sydney, he was the janitor, and he would let me in the building while he cleaned the building. So I would be in the wood shop from like maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock till, he finished at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and that kicked me out, So I would be in the wood shop cutting fucking boards, long boards, short boards, making kicktails with wedges, and just experimenting, Dogtown and all that shit caught my attention in the first skateboarder magazine. It was like September 1976 issue. It had this dude, Bob Jarvis, at Carlsbad. I remember it well. He was riding like a long ass brewer board with these Bennett trucks and these wide ass wheels. And he was at Carlsbad, and the background, the sky was like crystal blue. And he was barefooted, and it was like Bob Jarvis, brewer. I'm like, holy fuck, And that shit just sticks in my mind, So everything I saw in the magazines, I somewhat emulated, and it quickly shook out to be the people that really caught my attention. And that wasn't the dudes doing freestyle and standing on their hands and looking like clowns. It was the dudes all contorted up on their lip.
It's WCRP.
Skating like, in somebody's backyard, abandoned house, shit all over the place, graffiti on the pool wall, flipping off the camera, just ripping, and that was pretty much the Dogtown dudes. And it wasn't so much them as them, it was how they were presented to me. Because it could have been anybody. It could have been Steve Cathy, or it could have been all those like fucking GNS, a Christ-centered company. Every time I saw their ad, I'd trip out because I rode their boards, man. And I will say that they were probably one of the first companies that really backed their shit up. And this was back in the day when you didn't have to send the shit back. It was just word of mouth. All right, so my first Fiberflex board, it was a yellow one I got for Christmas, I think. I can't remember. But it was a Fiberflex kicktail with this weird, like, plastic kind of grip tape. And, that was my shit. It was the Fiberflex, Half Tracks, and Road Rider 4s. It was a magazine quality setup. So, I was learning this was pre-Slappies, man. This was like 1976 or so. Yeah, it was probably 75, 76. I was skating around the block in my high school parking lot, and it had these yellow curbs going into the entrance. And I was like such a micro nut. I would look at the fucking transition of a regular parking curb, and I was doing rollouts. And then, because that was the trick back in the day. Rick Blackheart was rolling out at Lakewood and rolling in. And so I was doing that shit on curbs before I was realizing I'm doing slappies in slow motion. The fact that the curbs were painted, and I didn't even think about employing wax. But, you know, my trucks always had yellow paint on them, and I was, like, learning that shit. So I did one, and the fucking physical plant truck was coming into the parking lot, and they were kind of watching me do it. And the dude, like, yeah, I blew his horn as I did it, and I fucking, like, got distracted, stepped off my board, and as he drove away, he ran over my board. And the fucking fiberglass held together, but the wood in the middle cracked. And so I tried to duct tape it, and it was, like, super flexed out, and I was like, this is fucked up. And so I sent the letter, and I called GNS and told them what happened. And then one day, man, it was, like, fucking probably 2 weeks later, my dad told me, get the newspaper. And it was in the fall, and it got dark early in the evening. So I checked the door, and between the door and the storm door and the screen door and the door, UPS had come and just stuck this package in between it. So I fucking like, whoa, what is this? You know, and it was like a board-shaped box, real flat, and it had my name on it, man. I quickly scuttled downstairs to the basement, cut that shit open, and it was a brown GNS kicktail. Replacement board, man. Who does that? I could have been bullshitting. Yeah, man, I had 8 fiber flexors and they got stolen. You know, they see a bunch of boards and shit. I wasn't even thinking about, you know, sponsorship and free shit back then. I was just like stoked to ride a good quality product, and it got hit by a truck, you know, and they gave me a new board. And then, you know, those were the Michigan days, right? First skate park experience was around 78. This place called the Cosmic Wave in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It was like one of those parks, like Sensation. Nah, it wasn't Sensation Basin. It was like there's like this one park in Fort Lauderdale where it was like a run that went downhill and emptied into this really big, like wedge-shaped funnel, lumpy-ass bowl that emptied into a snake run that emptied into a little toilet spit-out bowl. And then it had like a freestyle area. These two little shitty half-pipe ditches, you know, and then that was it. And every park was being made like that across the country by this one company. So they put one in Kalamazoo, but the owner of the park went one step further. Marina Del Rey had just opened, and that was the standard of fucking skateboarding. They had a keyhole. They had a fucking dog bowl. They had, like, these brown copingless pools. They had, like, bowls. They had real shit. And so the owner, Dave Northrup, contacted Ray Allen, who built Marina Del Rey, and Ray came out to Kalamazoo and put in a fucking 10-foot deep right hand kidney, 4-foot shallow end with a chute to drop in, 4-inch square blue tile, perfect coping, and the center of the flat wall in the the center of the wall in the deep end was a speaker with a plexiglass cover, so we were pumping out the Cars and fucking Alan Parsons Project, you know, we were like jamming to some fucking whatever skate rock was back in 1977, 78, you know.
It's WCRP.
So these were the days, dude, and I had a 10-inch Alva board with the Alva on the bottom. And I had some fucking trackers because I was riding Alva just like Alva was riding Alva. And I had some fucking tracker full tracks and a brand new set of Alva wheels, 2 orange and 2 yellow. And I was like, man, that was my shit. You know, I just love those guys because they were rad. And so, you know, cut my teeth learning how to skate that pool in Michigan. And then before you know it, skateboarding was dying in like 80, 81. They buried that pool and, you know, parks were closed up around my area. And so I started, you know, just kind of fucking still skating, but, you know, fashion, car license, and chicks took over, but I still held on to that last bastion of skateboarding. And then by the fucking mid-80s, man, I was like just, I grew up in this really small town, Clyde. It was like, I was one of 6 skateboarders, and everybody quit, and I absorbed all their gear, because it's like, waste not, want not. you know, and I kept true to it and just kind of stuck it out. And eventually everybody stopped skating and it became around 83, 84. And I was like, man, this town is just too small for me. I got to go and find myself. And so I moved to Chicago to go to art school. And, dude, that's when shit just blew the fuck up. Because skateboarding was like the wild, wild west. There was nothing going on, you know. And for all I can tell you this, man, when people say black people don't skateboard, yes, we do. Yes, we did. Yes, we always did. And yes, we always will. Okay.
Thank you.
The thing that I'm saying is this. We were discriminated against because we did skateboard. And that brought white boys into the situation to be like, see, if we didn't have skateboards, this is my life every day, y'all. So, you know, they started to understand how society was fucked up against people. And so, you know, that's how and why we still have such strong skate families, because everybody shared the discrimination. You know, white cops didn't give a fuck if you're white. You know, you're on a skateboard, you fucking coot. This is something that, you know, you can't take this from me. You know, started when wheels were steel and I'm riding. I rode everything from what was first made to what I had Watson cut me last spring, you know. And so I feel like I've earned the board I'm riding. It's custom cut for me.
It's WCRP.
You know, after all the fucking years and dedicated skating and research and development of a shape, a wheelbase, whatever, it all came down to the board I'm riding, the gold machete. My shit's 34 inches long by 8'4". Regular, you know, not a popsicle shape. It's kind of, you know, I like it football-y, you know, kind of pointy nose, pointy tail, kind of like Sean Sheffy's girl board was. Yeah. And then 8'4" wide, 16-inch wheelbase, because I ride bowl, I ride street, and I don't like to stand with my fucking knees tied together to 7'4". I don't change my shit, you know. I've finally gotten to a point where, you know, Gon sends me boards. I got, like, a jumbo street plant Gon's, and I got a fucking personal Gon's Beamer that he had rode for a while and then just sent me, you know. So we send each other shit back and forth.
That's dope. That's
and, you know, what's cool, though, is, like, Gon's board is the same dimensions in one regard, that it's 34 and a half or so long, 16-inch wheelbase, and then the shape changes, you know. That's but we're on the same page as far as, like, our style of skating, you know. And I was on Alva, so was Gon. Isn't that insane? You know, he was a fucking young little kid who just was bullied off the team, if anything.
Dude, Ray Barbie was on there too, man.
Let me tell you this. Oh, man, you brought that up. All right. I was there. I was in the van. Okay. So I went to my first LA or California Alva trip. I went out there in spring of 85. And, you know, we were riding around Venice rolling deep. You know, me and JT, Hartzell, TA, Cooksey. You know, I was like fucking living the dream, you know. So we decided to go to this contest on Escondido. Or either Encinitas or Escondido. I can't remember which one. But Gator was there. Fucking Nottis was there. Ron Allen was there. Nottis was there just, you know, that's when pros would show up at amateur contests and just be there, you know.
Yeah.
But this was the first contest that was a street contest that had three people on the course at once. And so, you know, that was the format, you know. So it was rad because you could skate off somebody else's energy or, you know, just go for your own shit. But anyway, we left Santa Monica, and we stopped in Long Beach on the way down, and we stopped at TA's dad's house, crashed out there before we headed south. And so once we got our shit together the next morning, we were supposed to pick up this fucking amateur named Robert Torres, which they affectionately used to call Taquito, because he was just a little prick. And so we stopped in this parking lot, and this fucking little kid comes rolling up. And then in the background, though, so black kid did that whole fucking, remember that slow motion, meow, 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 what was it, public domain line when they were showing, Ray's come skipping across the parking lot, did like 10 tricks in 15 feet, you know. And it was like, fucking Taquito comes over here trying to be out like, it, you know, like everyone was supposed to be happy to see him. He was like, yeah, fucking, they just kind of brushed him off. I was like, who's this fucking kid here? They said, hey, you know, because that was Ray and Robert were friends. And so fucking T.A. just, whoom, grabbed Ray, threw him in the van with us. Ray's first sponsor. It was crazy, dude. He got on Alba there, and he made the top five or something like that, Hartsville. The contest was fucked up because it started in the daylight, and it was on a basketball court, and then it ended in the dark. And motherfuckers had to park cars around the course and turn on the headlights. And the San Francisco posse that Jake Phelps brought down was Danny Sargent, who else? Steve Roter. There's a couple others, man. And they all came from Fogtown, whatever. And their runs were at night. And, you know, Jake was pissed about that because he thought that they were cheated. Because pretty much the first 10 skaters who got to skate in the daylight were in the top, you know, the top skaters. Hartzell, fucking Steve Size. This was like when we were hands, man, battling for them NSA kibble. And so at the end of the contest, everybody was like, you know, the trophies and all the prizes had been given out. And everybody was over in this one area. And fucking Dan Sturt, the photographer, was out there moving shit around. Nobody's really paying attention. Next thing you know, you hear this. All the fucking ramps were burning. You know, this dude set the whole fucking course on fire. You know, just piled the ramps up. And Dan Sturt, the photographer, dude, that shot Danny Way's helicopter drop and all the mother, you know. This motherfucker, like, piled up all the jump ramps in the middle of the course and just fucking set them on fire, dude. It was brilliant. I'll tell you.